much about.
You gotta put it in
perspective. I feel good. I look good. I feel like I'm moving. I feel like a cheetah. I feel black.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Ever.
Turn that song up, that's my jam.
Well, you know, I tend to kind of skew in the direction of writing songs about love-related things, relationship feeling-related-esque type situations.
Oh, I don't know what you're saying, it all sounds so crazy to me.
I can't get your song out of my mind, I haven't felt this way since Funky Town.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Your soul is going to heaven.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Ass.
Roll another one.
Yeah, she seems a little uptight.
Just like the other one.
She's fat.
This one seems to be about to quit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's
go. It's our time to shine.
Let's go.
I feel sad.
Roll another one.
Why are you bad, America?
Just like the other one.
Thanks, King.
This one seems to be about.
What do you think the Clippers are going to do in the NBA?
I don't have another cent.
Hey, don't do that. I don't look like that and talk like that. It makes my wiener feel weird.
Listen, guy who hates things he doesn't understand.
Just pass it around.
People love him.
Every day I'm shuffling.
And now,
my name is Iqbal Banlatsak.
Our feature presentation.
Yes, it is.
It's a great name.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It's a Friday morning.
Why can't we do something about the heat, by the way? Anyone think about that? Why aren't we working on that?
What, do you want a giant fan?
Yeah,
what do you
fan
think we should
or
be
great
doing?
Question, Lisa.
See
a
the
mister?
Clouds?
I don't know. It just seems like there ought to be something, right?
A mister the size
worldwide
of.
Worldwide mister.
It's 2,100. Wait, what is it? 2012 is what it is, right? 2012. I mean, it just seems like at some point we ought to be able to figure this stuff out.
The weather may be bigger than us.
It's too hot.
Says the man in 70-degree weather.
What are you saying?
Says the man in 90-degree weather yesterday, by the way. Yeah.
It was beautiful earlier in the week.
Yeah, it's hot. It's too goddamn hot. That's all I'm saying. Do something about it.
And get those kids off my lawn. Well,
I think that's a legitimate complaint, by the way.
That it's too hot.
That it's too hot and that we should be able to do
something
about it.
You expect what to happen?
I don't know. Look, we have a freaking car on Mars right now.
Right.
We can do stuff when we make it a priority. Let's work on this.
Okay.
Noted.
Let's do it.
Work
people
on
no
heat.
No
I'm not
vision.
Doing much this weekend. How about you, Kevin?
We've got a little bit of time.
Get in the garage or something. Call Corolla. He's got tools.
Let's
All right,
tinker.
Listen. Kevin, I know you're familiar with the story, and I don't want people to think, oh, it's Kevin and Bean saying how awesome it is when hot teachers have sex with students. But this is serious. This one is trouble right here. This is the Texas high school English teacher, mother of three.
Yep.
Had sex with 5 male students. She is 28 years old, by the way. And, of course, you can't have sex with teenage boys in a high school and not expect the word to get out. I mean, that's thing one, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, not just one.
It
now
doesn't happen if you don't brag about
you
it.
You might possibly get away with one.
Yes.
But she's, what was it, 5?
5, yes. including, I guess, at one time, what Kevin, you saw, wasn't there an orgy of some sort? There was her with four students at one time,
no.
Right?
Two words, orgy.
Orgy, right, exactly.
Oh, she's the best worst teacher ever.
She's the best worst teacher ever, exactly. The first relationship apparently started with an innocent text message. You know, they were texting about a baseball game or something like that, and then it turned sexual after that. The next thing you know, they're hitting on each other and they're arranging to meet for sex. And
they were doing
it
in the classroom, weren't they?
I don't know. I thought all I saw was that they were doing it at home. But of course, there's cell phone video. And by the way, the jury watched the cell phone video this week. You complain about being on a jury. You never know, man, what kind of case you're going
to
get.
The guys were like, I don't know. We need to see it again.
Judge, could you roll that back one more time? I've got some questions
freeze
about
frame.
It.
Freeze frame right there.
And by the way, if you notice that I said the jury, here's why I bring up this particular case. This is why it is even more troubling to me than the heat, okay? All of these guys, Lisa, were 18.
Oh.
They were seniors.
This is not a statutory rape charge, okay?
It's an authority charge.
Is that against the law?
Well,
They are charging her with a teacher having an inappropriate relationship with a student, to which I say that should be a school-only matter. That should be a you're fired matter, not a you're potentially going to jail for 20 years matter. She's having legal sex with another adult.
That is shocking.
None of those kids sued her, I'm assuming.
Nope.
Of course not. Are you kidding?
Hmm.
They had the best time of their lives.
They're just lined up trying to visit her in prison.
Really?
I mean, I understand that this is not a private corporation. I understand that she worked for a school, which means she worked for the government. But
right.
To me, it just seems like – it seems like – I don't know. To me, it's a scary blurring of the line here, because if she's having legal sex with an adult, adults. if I understand if it's a doctor patient, if it's a lawyer client, if it's a teacher student, I understand how somebody gets fired and somebody doesn't get to work together anymore and somebody's penalized or whatever. I can't see you send that person to jail for having legal sex with an adult. I don't get that.
I see a bonus structure.
Yes.
She sounds like she carded him. Like she knew what the law was, and she's like, oh, okay, I'm going to do this the right way.
All right.
No, that's a great point, Lisa, because there's hundreds of kids in that school who weren't 18. She didn't have sex with any of them.
You know, I think you have a really good point. She's not breaking the law. Yeah. I mean, this isn't done yet, right? She hasn't been prosecuted yet?
She's on trial right now. Her attorney says she is terrified. She has no idea whether she's going to prison next week or whether she'll be home.
Is it inappropriate? Yes. Should she be in jail? No.
No, I'd have to agree with you.
She should be free to bang more 18-year-olds.
I am flying to Texas after the show today, and I'm going to attempt to work my way onto that jury.
This is – good luck.
I'm going to be the one who makes sure there's not a guilty verdict in this case, though. That's what I'm saying.
This is what happened in the case.
I attend South Park Elementary, and one of the teachers is having sex with a student.
Oh, my God. This is terrible. You did the right thing telling the police, Brad. Now, who is the teacher? What's his name?
Well, it isn't a guy teacher. It's a woman.
A woman?
Yeah, she's having sex with a boy.
Oh, but she's ugly, right?
Well, no, not really. It's the kindergarten teacher, Miss Stevenson.
The blonde?
Yeah.
Some young boy's having sex with Miss Stevenson?
Yes.
Nice. Has she performed oral sex on him?
I think so.
Nice.
Nice.
So, wait, what's the crime? The crime is she isn't doing it with me.
By the way, her husband is standing by her. He is an Army specialist who was stationed out of state, and that's why she has all this time to have orgies at her home. But he's standing with her.
By her?
Yeah.
I don't know how you stand by a woman who's having an orgy with her kids.
Because you have such good sex with her, clearly.
Her husband says, if you know Brittany, and by the way, I forgot to mention that her first name is Brittany. With an I at the end, not
sure.
An E-Y.
Sure.
You know she's an empathetic, loving, loyal person. She's a loving mother and continuously puts the needs of our children above her own. She puts the needs of everybody's children above her own.
Oh, she has kids, too.
All three, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Three kids.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that being your mom and going through the court case, whatever city they're in? What did you say, Dallas, someplace in Texas?
Dallas, Texas, yeah.
They're the headlines everywhere. Your mom's a whore.
You'd have to move. Yeah.
Well, let's keep an eye on this story if we see any kind of a verdict come down in this case, because this one is troubling me.
Me as well. I think this should be encouraged. Are we saying that? We're not saying
sure.
Encouraged.
I don't know what we're saying.
Okay.
We're confused.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You're terrible. I would cut you today if I was the general manager. I would cut you.
Get your head out of your ass. Well, no, this group is not waiting for you.
You mean cut me like fire me or cut me like cut me with a razor blade?
I think
blade.
One and then the other is no. what I think.
The government is responsible for a whole host of things. Yesterday we played some audio of Dave Mustaine, who says that they set up the Aurora, Colorado shootings.
Sure so they did, because they want to take your guns away,
so they
Kevin.
Can take your guns away, which is
part
ridiculous.
Of the PR campaign.
But a lot of people don't trust the government. The government's given a lot of people reason not to. However,
you say
this
it's
is
ridiculous.
Crazy.
Dave Mustaine plays a mean guitar. He must know what he's talking about.
He does. That's true. We are going to talk to Noah Wiley about the TV show Falling Skies.
Yes. Awesome.
Which is so good. Question number one, how much do beards suck?
He does have to have a beard all the time.
And then all the way down his neck yep. and stuff. I would go, give me a fake one. This sucks.
You're on the run, Kevin.
Tommy Chong will be on the program today. Tommy Chong talking about what's going on with medical marijuana.
It's not good.
The president says, hey, we're going to loosen up. And then the government cracks down. I don't understand what's happening with that. The Wheel of Bad Animal Voices on today's Kevin and Bean Show. We have the movie beat because it's Friday. And we have Would You Like to Take That Back? How about that? All coming up this morning. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Finally Friday. Ralph Garman is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a new day. How are you, Ralph?
I'm well. Before I get to Showbiz News, I do want to give away some more passes to our K-Rock advanced screening of Premium Rush.
Yay! Not that Rush.
No. Nope.
Rush.
Is... yeah. That's the group. This is... No.
That's not this movie. It's a movie.
Oh.
Called Premium Rush.
That's something else right there, man.
Yeah.
It's true.
Premium Rush stars Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Michael Shannon. Joe Gordon-Levitt plays a bike messenger who picks up an envelope that attracts the interest of a lot of bad people, including a dirty cop played by Michael Shannon who pursues him throughout the city. Premium Rush is in theaters everywhere on Friday, August the 24th. But if you're one of the first three callers right now at 1-800-520-1067, you will get to see the movie on the Sony lot before anybody else on Thursday, August the 23rd. So call right now, call that number, and get those tickets and enjoy yourself. It's all over between Jenny McCarthy and Chicago Bear Brian Urlacher.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? I was rooting for them.
I wasn't. I'm going to laugh.
No, I'm just kidding.
Brian Urlacher realized she's just unbearable. That's what must have happened. Best part is she moved to Chicago to be with him.
Oh, ouch.
When he called the quits on the relationship.
Well, she's from there, remember.
Yeah, so she's going home. It's not too bad, but she was living in Los Angeles and uprooted to go be with her boyfriends. She said to Us Weekly, we've decided to turn our romance into a friendship. Yeah. I'm sure that's what happened.
That's how it works.
But I still plan to stay on his biggest cheerleader. Well, we'll see.
Ralph, you watch Hard Knocks, that excellent show on HBO this year about the Miami Dolphins.
I haven't been watching this year, no.
Well, with the Jenny McCarthy story made me think, it's unbelievable how hot the wives and girlfriends are of the NFL players. I mean, I guess that's true of almost all professional athletes, but it's ridiculous how hot they are.
Yeah. I'll tell you, no one hotter than hockey wives.
Yeah.
I think that's the best batch in the world right there, the hockey wives. Yeah. They do pretty strong work.
Yeah, you see that section, you see the wives section at the games, and you go, holy moly.
Robert Downey Jr., he's nursing a bad ankle. Apparently injured himself while doing a stunt on the set of Iron Man 3. Not so tough now, are you, Tony Stark? They said that there's going to be a short delay in production while he recuperates, so it must be bad enough to keep him off his feet, at least. So that's a slight delay on the set of Iron Man 3. And yesterday we were talking about the car accident Mayim Bialik of Blossom and Big Bang Theory was in. It sounded bad, if you believe the witnesses, but her publicist says it was no big deal. Minor car accident, despite the fact that her hand was covered in blood. She was seen leaving the hospital yesterday with a full cast on her right hand and her left forearm covered in gauze. So it looks like she got banged up a little bit, but nothing too serious. So all is well. And speaking of bad driving, Kendall Jenner, the 16-year-old daughter of Bruce Jenner and Kris Kardashian Jenner, was seen swerving all over the road.
Uh-oh.
So much so that someone thought she was drunk until they quickly realized she was just texting while driving her $90,000 Range Rover. So all
my
is well.
God.
All is well. All is well, Lisa.
Seriously?
Yes. All right.
She's fine. While we're talking about Kim Kardashian and her family. I'm sorry, porn star Kim Kardashian and her family. Kanye West may be called on to testify in the trial, divorce proceedings of Chris Humphries and Chris Kardashian.
I'm looking forward to this dirt.
Me too.
This is going
to
be good.
Did you hear they tried to serve Kanye a subpoena?
No.
At Kim's house. By wrapping it in a Nordstrom box and putting his name on it.
Sounds like that would work.
I think it would.
That's awesome.
Also,
now, help me out with the timeline here. What kind of relationship did she have with Kanye while she was still married to Kim? Or is that what they're trying to find out?
I think that's what Chris Humphries would like to know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, you know, Chris claims that Kanye and Kim, although they said they were just been friends for years, that there had been more going on there than just friendship.
Oh, this could be juicy. And this is not there. Chris will not settle it, right?
He wants to go to court.
I love it.
And he wants to put Kris Jenner up on the stand as well.
Oh, I love that.
And ask her questions about the marriage being a fraud engineered by her and her management team to simply prop up the ratings on their reality show.
Kevin, you hate juries.
Is this one you'd be on?
I'd be on this one. I'd be on
this one. You know, Ryan Seacrest produces that show. You know what I'm saying? You could be ultimately responsible.
Sweet.
Oh,
that's
right.
Great point.
Right? Let's get him up on the stand. Let's get him on the stand.
Class action lawsuit.
I say murder. Or death or whatever you can give him. Can you sentence someone to murder?
I don't think so.
That'd be great. Today's celebrity birthdays. Robert De Niro's 69 years old today. 69. Belinda Carlisle's 54. She looks good for 54.
She does.
Sean Penn turns 52. Gilby Clark of Guns N' Roses is 50. Donnie Wahlberg, brother of my son Mark. Well, he's on True Bloods. He's 43 years old. Juliana Rancic from E! News is 37. And Kevin Rowland of Dexy's Midnight Runners, baby. Come on, Eileen!
Too excited.
That would have been awfully effective had he played the song there. But
yeah, I know.
It sounded like it was a good lead-up to get him to hit the button.
Would have been good, but I don't see it.
But we don't have it.
I don't think so.
Dave asked me if I wanted it for the showbiz beat. I said yes.
Look at the screen!
Hey, stop yelling.
Muggs, Come On Eileen clip loaded in Vox Pro for Ralph. Labeled him in showbiz on Come On Eileen. So it's there.
I don't think we're in the right file.
That's why I expected to hear it when you give the
intro. But I'd like to suggest that it'll be ready next hour.
I'd like to suggest Muggs isn't even in the room.
I know.
Because once again, he doesn't really want to participate in this part of the show.
It won't be ready next hour, but I'd like to suggest that it will.
Is he co-hosting with Carson Daly down the hall?
He may have another gig. Yeah. Anyway, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You might expect us to be slacking off because it's Friday, but we are powering through. Big show today. Tommy Chong joins us next hour. Ralph's got the movie beat. Noah Wiley will be here, and the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices on the way. First, though, how about another brand new Would You Like to Take That Back?
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you, would you, could you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you, would you, could you take that back?
Look. We try to be funny every time we open our mouths. It doesn't happen. So every once in a while, we have to give ourselves a chance to redeem ourselves and perhaps apologize for something that was said.
This is live. We don't have the benefit of editing like we would if we were writing an article or something like that. So there is a chance to go back and clean it up for history.
Like, I'm sure, I'm positive that Bean's going to want to take this back. When Ralph was doing the showbiz, he was talking about Macaulay Culkin, and this happened.
Macaulay Culkin, the National Enquirer has a cover story, take it for what it's worth, that he is addicted to heroin fighting for his life.
Dude.
6 months to live is the headline.
Wow.
Dude. That sucks.
His representatives have stepped up yesterday and said he is not addicted to heroin, that the story is impossibly and ridiculously fictitious.
Do you know, Ralph, if anyone is there at the house with him?
Oh, my God, file! Wow!
No, Bean, I believe he's home alone.
Overruled.
I said a movie called Home Alone. In the file.
I absolutely would you like to take
that
back? No, I'm proud of that.
Would you like to take that back?
Let me ask you this question.
I love it.
Let me ask you this question. There was a long pause. Ralph may have gotten it immediately. I didn't get it at all.
I did. That's why I felt obligated to fill in the blanks for
people. You don't leave a brother hanging, right, Ralph?
No, it's not that I wanted to help you out because you deserve to be hung out to drive.
That was a bad alley-oop.
But people at home who would be might be asking, what I don't get it. What was he talking about?
That's my point.
At least fill in
that's my point. If people don't automatically get it.
Bad enough you make a horrible pun, but when you make people work to get it, it's really an insult.
Would you like to take that back?
No, I will not take that back.
Would you like to take back the...
Take it, please, get it, home alone.
little squeaky, childish little girl voice you made at the end of it?
That was a bizarre little scary.
Is it a movie called All of Us?
That right. Opened it up the top for me.
That part.
Maybe that I regret, but I don't regret the Home Alone part. No, I'm standing by my guts on that.
Oh, that's a bad decision. All right, here's Ralph talking about the movies over the weekend.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We take a look every Monday morning. Bourne Legacy, $40.3 million. Pretty strong. Pretty strong. I guess nobody saw Bourne Free. That's what I'm guessing. Because they all paid.
Really?
Made 40. Just
put that in the...
Really?
Come on.
Put that in
really?
The file.
Would you like to take that back?
I just think that was because it was the first showbiz beat of Monday morning and you guys were asleep. There was no energy in that room. Otherwise, that would have crushed.
It's us.
It was you.
It's the audience.
It was you. The audience let me down. The audience let me down. The audience let me down.
But
would you like to take that back?
Yeah, I'll take it back.
Okay. Here's multiple bean takebacks. Hopefully.
How happy are you if you're Brian Valentine, vice president of Amazon.com? Brian Valentine says to his fiance, honey, we're going to have the best wedding ever because I got Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers to perform at our wedding. He contacts this guy, Chad Christopher Lund, who was a promoter who got Petty. It turns out Chad Christopher Lund was in no way connected to Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
At any point, when he found out about it, did he say to the con man, hey, don't do me like that? Did he tell him, don't come around here no more?
Not a fan of yours.
Is this thing on?
Unfortunately, yes.
That's sad. Like a refugee now.
Oh, stop!
Hey, you can yell at me all you want. I won't back down.
Would you like to take that back?
See, those are all Tom Petty's
song
titles.
Look, we have a long tradition of playing the song game when it's warranted, right? Are we turning our back on that tradition? Are you answering the question now? Or not?
Would you like to take that back?
Your Honor, please direct the witness to answer the question.
Just some context.
Would you like to take that back?
Isn't that a thing?
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back?
I'm not being given a chance to answer the question.
No, you've had plenty of chances.
Sure, why not?
Oh,
I'll take that.
There we go.
Why not? I'll take that one back.
This one is me. This is mine. And as you know, my standing policy is basically I take back almost 100% of everything that happens. Let's start with Irene. Come on, Irene.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hi.
Okay, that does go in the file. God damn you to hell with come on, Irene.
Seriously? You're not even Chinese.
Would you like to take that back?
I think you both have something to answer for in that one, quite frankly.
Here's why I'd like to take that back. Because I couldn't wait. Like, it didn't even make sense. It came to my head.
You were chopping at the bit to get it out.
And they were all bad storytellers. At some point, I could have worked in, come on, Eileen, get to the... But I just went to the phone. Instead of saying hello, I said, come on, Irene, that's stupid.
So I'm taking that back.
All right.
I'm taking it back.
Would you like to take that back,
Bean?
What am I being asked to take back?
You're not even Chinese?
You're not even Chinese, because he said Irene instead of Eileen.
I'm fine with that. I think that's my bread and butter right there.
Racism.
Yes, it is.
Racism is my bread and butter.
And finally, Mr. Ralph Garman.
What? Looks like Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes have officially reached a divorce settlement. They both went into this marriage with their eyes wide shut, and this is what happened.
Oh, God, file.
You'd think it'd be a mission impossible to get these details worked out in such a quick manner.
You're
but
not gonna start that.
I guess they had all the right moves there in place, and endless love is what they were looking for. But anyone knows that marriage can be a risky business, and you just don't know.
Why are you doing this?
I don't know. I think after four, I was angry. Now I'm back on board.
Honestly, neither is swayed by the color of money because they've had that worked out in the prenup. They both know what kind of money they're going to get. But there's a few good men out there, and I think Katie will find one at some point after this is all over.
Would you like to take that back?
No way!
I agree.
Thank you.
I do too.
I agree.
Would you like to take that back?
Strong.
We got Weezer on the way here on the show. Also, Group Love, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Fun Period. That's all coming up. Tommy Chong in just a few minutes, and Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up as well.
First, the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. On the wheel, we have Irwin, the formerly paralyzed kangaroo. We have way too many animal stories, so we have to put them on a wheel, spin it, and see which one we're going to investigate further. Toto.
Hold on a sec. Formerly paralyzed? Irwin is fine now?
Apparently.
I hope it lands on that. I want to hear about that.
Toto, the tornado kitten. The giant Indian death spiders.
Okay.
Houdini, the Australian runaway goat. Thriller, Michael Jackson's Tiger in Heaven. The Brazilian penis snake, the beer-drinking home invasion bears, Florence, the shark that turned vegetarian, Harvey Dent, the two-faced kitten, badass super soldier ants, and the Icelandic worm monster.
Wow.
Wow. Got a lot of animals. All right. Let's go ahead and do the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices then.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Oh, good spin. That felt good.
Good wrist action.
That, how do you know? That felt good. Oh, how about that? It landed on Florence, the shark that turned vegetarian.
Oh, my God. Yay!
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but sharks eat people, right? And they eat fish. And
they eat fish. They meat. They eat meat.
Yeah,
right.
They eat meat.
That's
why this is such a surprise. Like, how and why would a shark ever turn vegetarian? I don't even understand what the point of that is, because they don't have a moral issue with eating animals.
I've never heard of a nurse shark, but apparently there is one at the Birmingham National Sea Life Center in England. Appears to have become the world's first vegetarian shark. It is crazy. The shark eats lettuce, other veggies. If they give it meat, it won't eat it.
No kidding.
They have to hollow out different vegetables and hide meat in it.
Because it needs protein.
Because it needs protein.
Yeah.
And if it senses that there's meat inside the, stick of whatever in the lettuce, it won't eat it.
How about that?
What the hell?
This shark, Lisa, Florence, a 6-foot nurse shark, made headlines back in 2009 after undergoing an out-of-water surgery procedure to remove a hook from her jaw. She had a rusty hook caught in her jaw. So they caught her, fixed her up. She's never been the same. For whatever reason, since then, she refuses to eat meat. So we wanted to find out more about this story, and we asked Dave in the last 30 seconds when it landed on this on the wheel to line up Florence, the nurse shark, in Britain for us so we can find out what's going on. Florence, are you there?
Hello. How's it going?
It's going well. Fine, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for asking.
Now, you are a nurse shark. You are 6 feet long, right?
That's right. I'm 6 feet long. Quite long for a nurse shark.
Yeah, it seems like it would be tough to maintain that physique if you're only eating lettuce and carrots.
Well, that's one part of it, isn't it? I wanted to keep a svelte figure.
Sharks?
Because, look, there's a lot of fish in the sea, right?
Right.
And for me to find a gentleman shark, it's not easy being 6 feet tall and also being a little bit hefty, you know?
Oh, right.
So I want to be able to attract a nice male shark and get my figure proper.
But how, I mean, when you see little fish swimming around in the tank with you there, how do you not want to eat them? How is that not just instinct? You've been doing it your whole life until recently.
Well, I just think, a moment on the lips, forever on the hips. That's what I say to myself. And then I leave the fish alone. I say, oh, give me a stick of lettuce. That's what I say.
Did I say stick of lettuce?
You did.
I just worry that people, especially young women, already have so many eating disorders. I hate to think that that's something that's now happening in the rest of the animal kingdom.
At least I'm eating, aren't I? I'm eating vegetables.
Right.
Yeah. Like I'm sticking my fin down my throat and blowing everything out into the ocean.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
Could be worse. I'm just eating a proper diet, that's all.
Well,
look, you can get protein from a lot of other sources, first of all.
Well, you're not getting enough of it, so they're having to hide the meat.
I know. I like a nice game of hide the meat as much as the next girl.
Where else can you get protein if not from meat, though?
Well, you can get it from beans.
Oh, beans, okay.
You can get
it. There aren't any beans in the ocean, are there?
Well, yeah, they're all the little sea beans.
It's very educational.
You can get it from cheese. A nice slice of cheese has protein in it.
Okay, cheese?
There's no cheese.
Of course there is.
In the ocean?
Yes.
What's wrong with you?
There, especially in the area near Jerusalem, in the Nazareth Sea, there's cheeses of Nazareth.
Really? I think the shark may have to go in the file. So you think it's just a lifestyle choice, and you're healthy, and you're happy, and you're fine, and you think we shouldn't make such a big deal about it. Is that right, Florence?
That's right. Look, I'm stunned that everyone's being so attentive to the fact that I'm a vegetarian.
Right.
And no one, not one person, has written an article about the fact that I can talk and use a cell phone.
That's a good point.
That should be the lead.
I would think that would be much more interesting. It goes to show you how people are.
It does.
That's why I would love to eat you all. Okay. But I can't because I'm vegetarian.
That's correct, yes.
So good for you, bad for me.
Right, thank you. Good morning, Ralph Garman. Time for the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin Bean Show for a Friday. What's going on?
Just sad news, man. Just
what?
Sad.
Uh-oh.
What happened?
I just, I don't know how to break this to you, but I'll just have to come out and say it. Let's give it to you straight. Right. In an interview with rock music magazine Kerrang, Fred Durst has announced that Limp Bizkit is over.
No! No!
They were back together?
Yes. Come on. Bean?
Sorry.
Fred says in 2000, there were 35 million people connected to this band. 12 years later, lots of those people have moved on. We were a moment in time, and it's over, he said.
Finally, he's admitting
it's time for everyone to move on. We all moved on, Fred.
Yeah.
Fred, we forgot that you existed.
Yeah.
How could we forget such classics as... Oh, does that sound as fresh as today's headlines?
Doesn't really.
No, it sounds horribly antiquated and is sort of out of touch. But this song holds up. Make note to self, apologize to Taylor Swift for lyrics comment. How about this song? Rock gotta have fun!
That's his ballad.
What were we thinking?
I don't know. That's a
good
question.
How did we ever listen to that music?
That is a good question.
Fred said maybe the band will get back together again periodically for some live events, but not in America.
Oh, America has angered him.
Listen to this. Listen to this little passage.
That'll kill us.
We've boycotted America for many years now. The reason? We just don't know what's going on in America. It's all about the new catchy thing, and that's always changing. America's driven by record sales. It's the home of corporations. We're just Limp Bizkit, so we don't know how to do anything but Limp Bizkit. That may be your problem.
Huh.
Or maybe your problem is that you're Limp Bizkit. So there you go, Limp Bizkit fans. Sorry to break it to you, but it's all over.
That's real talk right there, man.
So if Americans don't appreciate the band, it's on us. It's
yes,
our bad, right?
Yes, it's the M. Night Shyamalan school of criticism. So there you go. Now we know when the next Avengers movie is going to be. Circle your calendars.
All right.
May 1st. 2015.
13, what?
15.
What?
15.
2015.
15. Mark that down on your calendar.
Are they waiting for some of the actors to be born before they start shooting it? Why on earth does it take that long?
Well, they've got four other Marvel superhero movies to get to before that one. You got Iron Man 3, which is shooting now. That'll be out next year in May. Thor: The Dark World. That'll be in the Christmas time of next year. Captain America: The Winter Soldier will be spring of 2014. Then Guardians of the Galaxy in summer of 2014. So there's a lot of stuff.
Wow.
A lot of ground to cover before we get to the next
Avengers. I'm not sure I'm available then.
Well, we'll just have to.
You already have plans for 2015, Kevin?
I already be booked. See if you can fit us into your schedule. And Spinal Tap once famously said, you can't dust for vomit. And they were right. However, you can sue over it.
Uh-oh.
A woman went to see Whitesnake in Wales.
Well, that's on her then.
Back
whatever
in
happens.
December of 2011. And while at the concert venue, fortunately, she slipped in a pool of vomit and fell down on her way into the venue.
Loser! You're a loser! Are you feeling sorry for yourself? Well, you should be, because you are dirt! You make me sick, you big baby!
She missed the beginning of the concert, and her clothes had to be cleaned with disinfectant there at the venue. The promoters refunded her money for the tickets, but she says she claimed injuries when she fell, so she is filing a lawsuit against the venue where the concert was held there in Wales. So
we've got vomit!
Her white snake experience was ruined.
Please. That's what she gets.
White snake. Whitesnake's still playing shows in 2015.
Was Limp Bizkit opening? Does it say?
I believe you, they were. Whitesnake, was that David Coverdale's band?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
I guess they're
shocking
just,
to me.
I guess they're just metalheads or fans of that stripe of hard rock who just never let it go, never get over it. It seems like there'll always be an audience somewhere, you know, for Poison and groups like that.
Yeah. I guarantee you that woman was fat. The woman who fell. She
agreed.
Was. Yeah. But, and she was dressed way too sexily for her body. She had like a mini skirt on and some sort of crop top. And she had many tattoos, very few teeth, and a lot of extra weight on her. So yeah. I'm just telling you, without having seen the photos.
No, you're right.
Today's celebrity birthday is Julianna Rancic from E! News is 37 years old today. Actor Donnie Wahlberg, of course, brother to Mark. Donnie was New Kids, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Now he's on Blue Bloods on that very popular series on CBS with
he
Tom
has carved out quite a successful acting career over the years.
He's a good actor. 43 years old today. Gilby Clark of Guns N' Roses is 50. Sean Penn turns 52. Belinda Carlisle of Go-Go fame is 54 years old today. Robert De Niro is 69 years old. And Kevin Rowland, lead singer of Dixie's Midnight Runners. Woo! He was 59 years old today and ruined the lives of many middle school girls named Eileen in the mid-80s. I can guarantee you that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Ready for a legend, Kevin? Ready
Absolutely.
To bring the great Tommy Chong back onto the show? We love Tommy. It's always great to catch up with him. He is on stage this weekend. Saturday night at the Brea Improv, Sunday night at the Brea Improv. Two shows Saturday, one on Sunday. Tickets available, BreaImprov.com for just $20. Tommy, how are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're very
good.
We're
doing great,
you.
Too. First things first, tell me about your health. We were very nervous when we saw the words prostate cancer next to your name in a story over the summer. Tell me how you're doing.
No, I'm doing really good. It's almost all gone. I'm beating it with conventional and unconventional methods.
Fantastic. Good for you. And any trouble with the government lately? Are they leaving you alone? Are you keeping your nose clean? What's going on?
Actually, they've been ignoring me. Which
Fantastic.
I like.
Yeah, that's the best way.
No more helicopters and, you know.
You don't really want government helicopters hovering. That's, that's bad news anytime.
Tommy's had his share. Yeah. Now, listen, Tommy, you have been one of the most, besides being one of the all-time greatest comedians in history, you are one of the guys who has been outspoken longer than the rest of us about the need to legalize pot in this country. What's going on with your president, President Obama, the man that you had such faith in that was going to turn things around? Finally, you get a young guy in there who seems to get it, who seems to understand that this shouldn't be a priority. It seems like the whole thing, despite what he promised when he was starting out, the whole thing has just fallen apart. Where did we go astray, Tommy?
Well, actually, we didn't. Everything's going to plan. You
what?
Know? Oh, yeah. Don't forget, now, look what he's done. You know, he's made it gay marriage legal.
Okay.
You know? So we're getting... We're getting close to everything we put in our mouth will be legal, you know?
But Tommy, he said specifically we're not going to enforce the laws against medical marijuana, and now all of a sudden all of them are closing.
Well, not all of them.
How many of them?
Enough. But here's the deal.
What is the deal?
The crime people are still in the business,
right?
You know, and the government knows that, and so as long as they have the law in the books, they're going to enforce it, and it's the only way the government has to filter out the good from the bad, and it's kind of a crude way of doing it. The thing is, if you have counsel, legal counsel, you can fight it.
But Tommy, the LA City Council voted to ban medical marijuana dispensaries last month, and they sent out letters to like 800 places.
That's not Obama. That's the local government.
Right,
no,
but it's completely
separate.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Again, it's all political. That's the L.A. city. Now, you go to Venice, you go outside the city, you can get all the pot you want. And so it really is a smokescreen. And plus, it keeps the price of pot high. You know, the more dispensaries you got, the more the price goes down.
Right.
So these guys that are making, you know, basically what they're doing is that if you are famous and have a medical condition, you don't even pay for your medicine, because they're making so much money on the recreational side that they can, and they do in many cases.
Wait, are you sure that you just don't get it free because you're you?
Yeah.
I know that for a fact they give like kids and stuff like that, you know, that have brain tumors and serious problems, you know,
that really need it. Yeah.
Yeah. That really need it. So they get it with no problem. And the government is right, because the thing they have to do is they have to realize that recreation is also a medical treatment. You know, like when you're in the Army, one of the things they make you do is go on R&R, which is rest and recreation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's why alcohol is so popular, because people need a substance to unwind, as they say. You
but
know?
How long until somebody has the balls in government to say recreational use is fine?
When Obama can relax, he's in his last term. He's he'll be a lame duck president, and he's going to do is assign an order like he did with the gay thing.
So you think he will be reelected, and you think that when he doesn't have any office to run for anymore, he doesn't
have
to worry about turning off voters.
That's right.
You think that's when he'll try to do stuff
that's
like this.
That's when he'll do it.
I hope he fires up a bong in the Oval Office.
He probably will. You see,
one that you sold him.
Hey, you see how he? Yeah, you see how he? How the government, I mean, how the political field is now, you know, the Republicans know they don't have a hope in hell of winning.
And I don't think that's true, Tommy. I think they have a chance of winning.
Yeah,
and I think
right.
they do have a chance of winning, by the way. I'm not joking about it.
Right. And the reason they do that is to keep everybody scared so they will vote, you know. And here's what's happening with the election. The Republicans are the bad guys in a wrestling match. You know, and the good guys, you know, they've been hurt, and they've got the referees got their back turned to the bad guys, and everybody in the crowd's yelling, "Look out behind you! He's going to get you!" It's all fixed. The whole thing is fixed. Yes, and what the reason they're doing it the way they're doing it, the reason Romney is going, you know, radical, because Romney, you know. And what they're doing, the Republicans are nudging everything over to the right, so far over to the right that even if they lose, they'll still win. They'll still get their tax breaks. They'll still get everything that they want. The more they push Obama over to the right. So they're going to get everything they want, and Obama's going to get reelected, and everybody's going to be happy.
I'm not 100% comfortable with referring to one party as the good guys and the other as the bad guys, because I think there are good and bad in both sides here, Tommy. But let me ask you this.
Tell me the good on the Republican side.
Let me ask you this. This is the voice of Tommy Chong here on the Kevin and Bean Show, on stage at the Bray Improv doing his comedy this weekend. You should buy tickets to go see The Legend on stage. But let me ask you this. From personal experience with everything that you've gone through health-wise, how has pot helped you physically?
Physically, you know, the truth is, no, it has a benefit.
Just, didn't you use it to help treat your cancer, right?
No.
You did not?
I didn't. I am now, but I didn't before.
Okay.
See, Bob Marley, he smoked a ton of pot, and he died of melanoma and, you know, cancer of the brain and that. And the reason the pot didn't work for him is that he didn't apply it topically. He smoked it, and ingesting it through the lungs doesn't help as much as ingesting it, the pure oil, you ingest it, and then it works better.
I see.
But, my theory is that the cannabis, it also has omega-7s, and when you juice the leaves and the buds without cold juice it, you know, cold press it, mm-hmm. you don't get the THC, you don't get the high, and so you can drink a ton of it, and that's what really helps you.
I need to start hanging out with Tommy. He knows what's going on here, man. He's got the hookup.
We need to hang out together, Tommy.
There's a substance in cannabis that is only in cannabis. And that's why, you know, those pharmaceuticals are going crazy because they can't separate the extract. It's something like omega 7 or something that affects the brain. And it affects the brain in such a way that our body does normally. And cannabis is the only plant so far that they found that does that.
It doesn't affect the brain negatively, does it? Because I don't have any room to
to move here, to backslide. Kevin doesn't give me backslide. Hey, Tommy, what happened to you when you couldn't smoke pot when you were in prison? How did that affect you physically?
Oh, please.
I got cancer.
And there it is, ladies and gentlemen. That's the takeaway. Here's what happens, kids. If you don't smoke pot, you're going to get cancer.
That's the message.
Hey, real quick before you go, and again, Tommy Chong, Brea Improv this weekend. You still love stand-up? Is it something you still enjoy doing, Tommy?
I'm addicted, man. Just like you guys. You know, you don't get up early in the morning because of the paycheck, do you?
I do.
Brea Improv, Saturday night, Sunday night. Tickets are just $20. Don't miss it. It's BreaImprov.com. I'm so happy to hear that you're doing so well physically. It sounds like you're still having a blast out there, Tommy, and it's always fun for us to catch up with you here on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, the next time I'm on the show, I want to be able to announce that I'm cancer-free, and that's going to happen.
Fantastic. Let us know as soon as that happens.
And let President Romney know, too. Thanks, Tommy.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 27 minutes after 7.
A lot of lies going on today.
Lies
just
everywhere
lies. You look. I'm saying there's a point at which maybe you smoke too much pot, Tommy. That's all. All right. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday. It's time for the movie beat.
Oh, I wish I was ready. Do it again.
It's time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry. I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
So you're telling me I got 4 minutes. That's what you're saying. I'd be out by 32.
Well, take
four
five.
Minutes.
Take
you
five.
You're going to have five.
To talk about eight new films that are coming out this weekend.
You mean five new films.
Okay.
We're already editing.
Well, we had clips and they're in particular order, so you guys just have to work with me here.
All right, just tell us which ones to skip. We'll do it.
Let's start with The Odd Life of Timothy Green, new family film that opened up this week with Jennifer Garner and Joel Edgerton, two of my favorite actors. Childless couple buries a box in their backyard containing all their wishes for a child. I don't know why they would do that. It sounds kind of creepy to me. But somehow a magical child is born. Timothy Green has leaves all over him. I think he was born out of the ground. It's a lovely, charming child's tale. Here's the brand new parent sending their brand new child, Timothy, to school. And mom, played by Jennifer Garner, has maybe overloaded his backpack.
What did you put in there? He's about to fall over.
Anything he might need. Notebooks, pencils. Oh, there's a box of tissues on the bottom. It's a Band-Aid. There's a whole first aid kit, actually, just in case. A variety of healthy snacks and treats and graham crackers. I know you like them. And then flashlight and some batteries.
Mom, I think I can handle it from here.
Oh, there's an extra pair of socks.
Have a great day.
That's too much pressure.
Have the day you have.
Have the day you have.
That's a funny line.
Cosmopolis, the new weird David Cronenberg film, stars weird Robert Pattinson and weird Juliette Binoche. Riding across Manhattan in a stretch limo in order to get a haircut, a 28-year-old billionaire has an odyssey with a various cast of characters that tear his world apart.
Hey, this could happen.
The entire movie takes place in the back of a limo.
Okay.
And it's a weird sexual psychological journey for a 20-year-old millionaire played by Robert Pattinson. Just to show you how weird this movie is, here's a little clip.
You smell of sex.
That's my doctor's appointment, you smell.
I smell sex all over you.
It's what? It's hunger you smell. I want to eat lunch. You want to eat lunch. We're people in the world. We need to eat and talk.
Yep. That's that right there.
Does that exist?
That happened.
That's real?
That's a movie.
You give Pattinson some credit for not going the, you know, the teen musical route or whatever he could have done, you know, with, which would have been guaranteed box office. I mean, at least he's trying something weird. I mean, no one's weirder than Cronenberg, right?
Yeah, that's a limited release today. I'm out of time, so I'm just going to tell you what else is opening up this weekend. The Awakening, which looks like an awesome horror movie starring Rebecca Hall and Dominic West. Just a great film about ghosts in a boarding school in England. Looks fascinating to me. Robot and Frank in limited release, Frank Langella. It's a story takes place in the near future where Frank Langella is an older retired jewel thief, and his son gets him a robot butler to sort of take care of him because he's getting a little addled in his old age. And the guy teaches the robot to help him steal jewelry from people he thinks are douchebags. So it's a very entertaining film. Also opening up Sparkle with Jordan Sparks and Whitney Houston this weekend. Paranorman and The Expendables 2 all opening up at the Southland Cineplexes this week.
What's your take on The Expendables 2, Ralph? How is it possible it's going to be good?
Yes, it's going to be big, big fun.
I have a clip for it if you want to play that one.
Okay, here's a scene with Arnold Schwarzenegger returning to the fold in Expendables 2. The rest of the cast is Sylvester Stallone, Jason Latham, Jet Li, Bruce Willis. It just looks like the guys having fun just shooting guns and blowing stuff up.
Love it.
Yeah. Oh, there he is. Move it up. Let's go. Tear him apart. I'll be back. He's backing up. I'll be back.
I'll be back.
You can't understand a word Sylvester Stallone says anymore.
Yeah, it's so much fun. That's Bruce Willis and Schwarzenegger there having a good time. So it looks like a good popcorn movie. You want to get out of the heat and get into the air conditioning. Expendables 2 is a good pick for you this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Movie
I'll
beat.
Let you know. Is that an end?
That was Ralph Garman.
Ralph Garman.
Movie beat.
Hey! 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:41.
Does that band seem fun to you? Are they living up to their name, Fun?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, I love any story, a book, a TV show, a movie where it's post-apocalyptic, or in this case, post-alien invasion, and the remaining humans have to get together and rebuild civilization. I love that. And I'm terrified that that's going to happen in real life because I don't know that we have anybody alive today who would do a good job of rebuilding civilization.
Noah Wiley.
Well, except for maybe Noah Wiley, who, of course, plays Tom Mason on Falling Skies on TNT. Its season two finale is this Sunday night at 9. Mr. Wiley, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Great to be back. I'm doing really well, thanks.
First of all, how much do beards suck?
yeah, they suck in the summer.
Yeah.
In the winter, it provides a little bit of warmth.
It's not like your character gets to keep it, you know, close shaven or anything. You just let it go.
No, I go the full Dan Haggerty. I'm Grizzly Adams by the end of the season.
Yeah. Now, this is unusual that we have somebody on, Noah, to promote a season finale. But I guess in your case, it kind of makes sense because we know that Falling Skies has already been renewed, right? You're already coming back from season three. And this finale is going to be, I assume, another big cliffhanger that's going to set us up for what we'll see next time, right?
Yeah, we like to kind of write ourselves into a corner at the end of the season and try and figure out over the hiatus how to dig ourselves out. So we don't disappoint at the end of season two.
I'm actually talking
to you from my hotel room in Vancouver where I arrived yesterday to start work on season three.
Oh, no kidding. Wow.
Was there a time when you didn't know whether you were going to be renewed and you had no idea whether this episode that you guys were doing was going to be the series finale?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we don't find out about the pickup order until usually after the first four or five episodes of the season have aired to see how they're tracking. And in this case, it was first or second week in July that we found that we were coming back.
That must be the happiest phone call an actor ever gets is, hey, you get to put food on the table for another season.
It's pretty great. I mean, you have a pretty good indicator that one way or the other when you're watching the numbers yourself, but when you get the phone call and it's all official, then you can go ahead and remodel that kitchen.
One of our favorite actors is Terry O'Quinn. He's in every show we like, it seems like.
He's just the consummate journeyman, total pro actor. I had a ball working with Terry.
He was your history professor, and now he's kind of running things, and you run a little afoul of him, and it seems to be like you're setting up for a huge season finale. As a matter of fact, they even went so far, Bean, to say
and wait till you hear the last 5 minutes.
Yeah. Now, is that overselling, Noah, or is that for reals?
No, that's for real. It's got a, you know, it's sort of along the lines of me walking onto the spaceship after the first, at the end, in the finale of the first season. We're just sort of left hanging, and I anticipate getting a lot of phone calls at 11:01 saying, WTF, man, I got to wait a year to find out what the hell that is.
Yeah, we're going to need your number at the end of this conversation. Tell us the difference in the aliens between the Skitters and the Mechs and the Overlords.
Skitters are kind of the spidery ones that, you know, look, they crawl around on all the different legs. Mechs are their kind of mechanized counterparts that do all the nasty shooting. And the Overlords are the big, long, tall, fishheady-looking ones that are really in charge.
That you shot. You shot one.
Yeah, I shot one in the neck a couple weeks ago.
Your character did. I don't mean you did, but...
Sweet. Well, you don't know, man. why do... I mean, maybe the answer is as simple as it wouldn't make very compelling television, but why don't the aliens ever come and they're just cool? Like, why can't they just ever come in and be, hey, let's hang out, let's be friends? Because I feel like if we went to other planets, our goal wouldn't be to murder them and take over.
He made that movie years ago.
Spielberg did.
E.T., and he's been getting progressively more and more violent ever since.
Yeah. It was very PC for a long time. You didn't want to say the aliens were bad. And then it was okay again to say, nope, they're going to kill us all.
Yeah.
And now your group has to fight back. It is it's a great show. It's Falling Skies. It's on TNT. And again, the season finale for season two is this Sunday night at 9 o'clock. Can you give us any advance notice about anything in the episode?
Sure. Well, actually, alluded to what you were just saying, that we find out a couple shows ago that there might be this rebel faction of the alien community that might want to form an alliance with us. And that
so some of the aliens are going to turn on their other aliens.
Exactly. The Skitters, we find out, were actually kind of an oppressed race themselves, and a few of them have been able to overcome the power of the harnesses that they were subjected to and are willing to fight alongside of us.
Well, humans look pretty puny in your show, but I'm glad you guys are fighting back, and I hope that the resistance pays off. We're very excited to see what happens this Sunday night. No, it's always cool to catch up. Congratulations on the success of Falling Skies, man.
Thanks, guys. It's great. Always great to talk to you.
Season 2 finale, love Sunday too, right? At 9 on TNT. Thanks a lot. We appreciate it, No.
We're going to be looking for you government conspiracy theorists coming up in the next half hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. In about 20 minutes or so, we're going to be looking for you. You know, the government arranged all those these mass shootings lately in Wisconsin and in Colorado and everything like that, so the president can take your guns away. That's fact.
Yes.
We know that.
Well, that's what Dave Mustaine says. That's
what else has the government been up to? We're going to be taking your calls coming up in a few minutes. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Friday. What's going on?
Before I get to showbiz news, I do have more tickets to give away to the special advance screening of Premium Rush.
Yay!
It's a new movie starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Michael Shannon. Joe Gordon-Levitt plays a bike messenger who picks up an envelope that attracts the interest of a lot of bad people, including a dirty cop played by Michael Shannon. It leads to a pursuit throughout the city. Man against machine, a cycle versus cars, and looks awesome from the footage that I've seen so far. If you'd like to go, it's Thursday, August the 23rd on the Sony lot. We're going to take you to the movie studio. You get to see it for everybody else because it's in theaters Friday, August the 24th. Right now, first two people get through at 1-800-520-1067. We get a pair of passes to our advanced screening of Premium Rush. For the first time ever on Wednesday night, Lisa Marie and Priscilla Presley showed up at the candlelight vigil that was held at Graceland, which marks the anniversary of Elvis's death.
They haven't done that before?
It was the first time his ex-wife and daughter have ever showed up for the candlelight vigil.
Huh.
But they were there, and there was a stage put up in front of the crowd, and Priscilla got up there and said hi to the fans, and Lisa Marie did the same. So, big night for Elvis fans.
You ever been there for the death anniversary, Ralph?
No, sir.
It's weird.
You've
like
being
been?
Yeah, of course, Beans.
I've been several times. Yeah,
of course.
Why? Well, I love Elvis. First
well,
of all.
I do too. But I don't need to go with all those yahoos holding candles.
That's why
I don't love those people.
You feel like you're in some sort of a like war memorial. I mean, the people are just standing there and they're playing Elvis's gospel songs, and people are holding their candles up in the air, and there's speakers getting up, and it's like he's a deity.
Hey, none of this. You get to point at other people and laugh. You're one of them.
Yeah, if you're showing up, you're as bad as they are.
It's just it's just the strangest thing, though, to see, especially now. I mean, 35 years later, and there's still tens of thousands of people that show up to commemorate that day that he died.
Yeah, they're weird. They're losers.
They are weird. Those people are losers. Those people go to Graceland on August 16th.
You've gone several times.
I have. I'm a big Elvis fan.
I understand that. I said I am too. I've gone to see Graceland, but I don't have to go to be with those people.
Yeah.
And what day you go on means nothing. You don't have to go on the day he died. It's meaningless.
It does if Elvis is in the back of the crowd watching.
He's
to see
not
who shows up.
There.
Take it roll. Lisa Marie was at home in the next room when Elvis died, by the way.
That is a great story.
Are you going to work with Brian? Is that what you're trying to tell us? That's
please,
what's going on.
Are you leaving? Andy Griffith show.
Are
TV
you
at the time?
Leaving to go work
please,
with Brian?
God, please.
Is
make
that what you're trying to tell
allowed,
us?
We're not allowed to
make
announce
that
until
happen.
Sunday.
Please, yes. God, make that happen.
Kevin's actually
would you guys please, seriously God. Be happy?
Oh sweet God, Lord
you
in
have
heaven!
No idea.
If
no.
I left to go be part of the beat of Brian too, you guys would be happy. Wow, that hurts me. You wouldn't be happy, right?
I would not be happy.
I would never stop popping champagne bottles.
From your lips to God's ears.
Take her you with guys, you then. Take her with you when you go to Brian.
Please. You guys take wouldn't her. Be the tiniest oh. bit sad to see me leave to go work against you?
Oh, God, please.
See who... that's a win-win. You leave and you work against us. So automatically the ratings go up. Either way.
Wow. This actually hurts. This actually... I'm not joking now. This is actually making me sad.
Oh, please. If you were able to
if you
be
had
sad.
Feelings, we would be... We would actually be apologetic.
I feel sad.
I yeah. do too, honey. They're being mean to the nice man.
Yeah.
There's no nice man in this equation.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Juliana Rancic's 37 years old today. Actor Donnie Wahlberg from Blue Bloods turns 43. Gilby Clark from Guns N' Roses is 50 years old. Actor Sean Penn celebrates his 52nd birthday today. And it's Sean Penn, so when I say celebrate, I mean yeah. maybe he'll smile. Maybe he'll crack his
probably
smile.
Not.
Belinda Carlisle of the Go-Go's is 54 years old. Robert De Niro celebrates his 69th birthday. And Kevin Rowland of Dexy's Midnight Runners, their legendary song, Come On Eileen. 59 years old today. Uh-huh. Eileen a towel. I'm Rob Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So I'll be on my way.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. That was Alex Clare performing that in the studio.
He's great.
Yeah. Why is he so good?
I can't answer that.
Like I said at the time, look, that So Close song that we play here on K-Rock is a great song. But you can easily go, well, yeah, of course it's great. Look at all the music they got on, the production and everything like that, and the big instruments and everything. But you strip it away, you just have him, the man and his voice, man and his guitar. And it's equally captivating. That's how you know you got yourself a great song. I love that, and I love that album, too. All right, 8:08, Friday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our old friend Gene Simmons is back in the news. Kevin, have you seen this? Family Jewels finally being retired after 7 seasons on A&E.
Being canceled, yeah.
I didn't know it was 7 seasons they've
seven
been on there.
Seasons.
My God.
Longest-running celebrity reality show ever. Gene Simmons says it was his choice to pull the plug because he is so busy with everything that's going on in the Kiss Empire. So we wanted to find out if that is, in fact, what's going on here and what his plans are now. Gene Simmons, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, my friend. How are you?
Hello. You're a handsome and powerful man.
Yeah. Yes, we are.
Yes. Thank you for acknowledging that first.
So
and
seven...
hello, Lisa May.
Hello,
hold
Gene.
On. Don't interrupt me. I have to talk to Lisa. Hello, Lisa.
Okay. Sure.
Hi, Gene.
Do you miss me?
No, because I never see you.
No, all right, fair enough. I was going to mention the one time that we did meet, how powerful it was, the connection, the sexual connection, the raw sexual magnetism that emits from Gene Simmons. Of course, I know you felt it. But that's neither here nor there. We're talking about Gene Simmons' Family Jewels. Go ahead.
Now, it got canceled, right? That's what A&E is saying, it got canceled.
Of course not. Of course not. This is the most successful celebrity-based reality show in the history of television. Gene Simmons would never be involved in anything that would get canceled like that. It's just after 7 seasons. You know, of course, I'm very busy. I have so many things involved in my business world and music.
But if you don't mind my saying, Gene, you've been busy for 7 years. It doesn't stop you from doing the TV show.
Not as well. There were other factors, Kevin. Of course, you're a very smart man. You're very smart and powerful.
Thank you. Thank you, Gene.
I feel like the ratings, although still very high, were waning, and we could see that the show in all was on the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of ropes, I have a rope right here.
Right? Okay.
I do. And after 7 seasons of, you know, a show where you follow around the entire cast, 24 hours a day, essentially, we could see that the crew, you know, who I'm very concerned with, the crew, the cameramen, the gaffers, the grips.
Sure.
They were rode hard and put away wet.
Sure.
And Lee Smith, yes. He was being rode hard and put away wet. Exactly what I'd like to do.
Really,
look,
Gene?
160 episodes. I mean, look, we're not mocking here. That's really impressive. That's an incredibly long run for a show. And you probably ran out of ideas for plot lines for what you're going to do for that half hour every week, too, right?
We could see that the ratings were taking a slight dip after the crescendo that we took with the wedding episode last season. And you're exactly right, Bean. You again, are a very smart man. And at some point, we feel like we'd be better served if we just rode off into the sunset. And it's not as if I don't have other things to do. Kisses on tour.
Okay.
I have other TV projects in the works right now. In fact, I'm in the kitchen right now preparing some recipes for my upcoming Food Network show.
You're going to do a cooking show?
What?
It's true. It's Cooking with Dr. Love. It should be debuting on the Food Network in later this summer.
Wow, I had no idea.
I'm working on a fish taco recipe right now.
Oh! Are you?
Why am I not surprised?
If you have an exotic organic fish taco I'd like to dive into, if possible.
Okay, Gene.
I'm also, you know, it's very popular right now to remake older television shows that have caused some success in the
past. Yeah.
I'm working on a remake of Leave It to Beaver.
Is that right? Are you? On that note, we have to go.
No, leave it.
No, I want to hear outside, all about it. Tell me everything, Gene.
Outside of the world of television. Oh, by the way, I'm going to be on Bones as well. But you guys can put that together. Outside of the world of television, I'm also, you know, very politically active.
Oh, politically active. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes, it's true.
Yes. You've endorsed Mitt Romney, if I recall correctly, right?
You're exactly right. I support Mitt Romney. I feel like he's going to do, in a situation we're in right now financially in this country, with an 8% unemployment rate, I think we need to do what we can do to stimulate the economy. And with Mitt, we have the best chance of stimulating things. At least make, speaking of...
Yes?
Speaking of stimulating the Mitt,
right.
I like to stimulate your skin Mitt.
Okay.
Skin Mitt.
All right.
Come on with that.
We got to go. But thanks for your time. I'm very excited about this phone topic. I've been looking forward to talking to your people all week long, Kevin. Crazy government conspiracy theorists. Now, by the way, is this you?
No.
A little bit?
No, I distrust the government a great amount. But I don't think they have their S together enough to pull off anything like this.
The kind of stuff people think they're doing.
Anything,
it would come out.
Anything they do, there are leaks. Yeah. Anything they do, there's no possible way that they're competent enough to do what this guy is saying.
Look, before we get to Dave Mustaine and why this is back in the news, and before we take your calls at 1-800-520-1067, of the things that you're convinced the government is behind, the government is engineering, the government is doing that they don't want you to know, let's look back at a little bit of history, because for decades and decades and decades, the government has been involved in some pretty shady stuff, right?
Yeah, oh, no question.
Not to mention scraping up those aliens off the Roswell field and then pretending it was a weather balloon. I mean, let's all remember that cover-up. They clearly faked man landing on the moon. There's no question about that. There's no way that could have happened, right? Just look at the photos. We all know that. Why they continued to fake it six additional times going back to the moon, I haven't figured out an answer for that one yet.
Because we bought into the first time.
In all seriousness, though, remember when they were with the Tuskegee Airmen? Lisa, what was the deal? They were injecting black folks with cooties or something down there
syphilis,
for a long time, right?
I believe.
Syphilis. That wasn't cooties. You're right. It was
them.
Syphilis. And that, yeah. I mean, that's yeah. real. That yeah. happened. The government injected its own citizens on purpose with sexually transmitted diseases. That's something that they did and something that they covered up. So it's understandable why some people are suspicious of the motives of the United States government sometimes.
Oh, agreed.
I get that.
Everybody should be suspicious.
Yeah.
Now, I never understand, and of course, you know, since 9/11, which was the defining moment for our adult lives, I never understand the people who are convinced that the government knew about it in advance or worse, planned it for some ulterior motive. I never got that one. I never saw what the draw was for that. But maybe we've got people listening right now who can explain what we're missing about that. Maybe that's another inside job from the government. We just haven't been exposed to the facts yet.
Let's start with the Dave Mustaine tape, if you don't mind. This is him on stage, and he's talking about the Aurora, Colorado shooting, among others, that our government is behind because they want to take away our guns. Here he is.
Back in my country, my president trying to pass a gun ban, so he's staging all of these murders, like the Fast and Furious thing down at the border in Aurora, Colorado, all the people that were killed there. And now the beautiful people at the Sikh temple. God, I was talking to JD, our promoter here tonight. What a great guy. I was saying, you know, I don't know where I'm going to live if America keeps going the way it's going, because it looks like it's turning into Nazi America.
It does look like it's turning into Nazi America.
Clearly.
That's
accurate. There's no question about that. Look, the important background for that is the guy doesn't like President Obama, and that's fine. I get that. But you can't just make up facts. The president isn't trying to take anyone's guns away. There hasn't been a single piece of legislation that has been even discussed among among President Obama and his staff.
With us.
With us. Oh, with us.
Oh, he's not letting us in.
You say it's all behind closed doors.
Right.
And you're with Tommy Chong that once the president's reelected, that's when, boom, he starts sending federal agents door to door to take our guns away, right? So Dave Mustaine is convinced that that's what's going on. And I don't know where that's coming from. But a lot of people very deeply distrust the government and think the government are involved in a whole bunch of things. So we want to take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with our man Art, who was quick to be on the phone. He's online too. Apparently he's got quite a bit on this topic for us. Art, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Oh, hey, yeah, I produced a movie. It's called Operation Terror, and it shows how the government had planned and implemented the 9/11 attack.
This is big news. Tell us more.
Yeah. Well, what we do is we actually have actors play out actual news footage of the 9/11 attacks. They use it word for word. They talk about there's no airplane in that field in Shanksville. The BBC, how they reported that Building 7 had collapsed while the building was still standing in the background.
Well, let me ask you a question, Art.
23 minutes later.
Yeah. Art, let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
Because everybody's heard this 9/11 BS from the very beginning, since 9/11. Our government is good enough to pull that off with no leaks. Really?
Oh, there's been a lot of leaks. They just don't put it on the media. I mean, there's been, I don't know, dozens and dozens of people that have come forward and talked about the
There's been dozens of citizens. Has there been anyone who's been a credible government employee, though, a high-ranking government employee who has been willing to speak on the record on this?
Well, I don't know how high-ranking you want to go, but Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer, for example, he was part of an Army project that had uncovered the patsies of 9/11.
But that guy's a pedophile.
What's that?
I said that guy's a pedophile.
Anthony Schaefer?
Yeah, see, because you can just say what you want about anybody, right? You don't need facts; you can just make stuff up, right?
No. He has lots of facts. I mean, they testified in front of Congress. They had the.
How high up do you think it went? Do you think President Bush was involved in the planning on the Twin Tower attacks?
I think Dick Cheney was. I mean, that's from the testimony of Norm Mineta. He was there in the Emergency Operations Center in the White House when Dick Cheney had given the stand-down orders for the plane to fly over the Pentagon and the shoot-down orders for the flight over Pennsylvania.
Yeah, but he's a pedophile.
Well, right. I believe that one.
So Dick Cheney – now, hold on a second. We can't get too deep into the woods here, but the orders that you talked about, those were in reaction to the attacks of the Twin Towers. Do you think he was involved in ordering the planes to fly into the buildings?
Yeah, I think, you know, definitely he was part of it. He had to know in order to give the stand-down orders for the flight to fly over the Pennagon and the shoot-down orders for the one in Pennsylvania.
There it is. That's all the proof I need, ladies and gentlemen. It has been determined. Dick Cheney is responsible. Thank you very much for the call. That's the kind of call we're looking for right now. And these are our people, Kevin, because you don't need any kind of actual facts, right?
Well, here's the
problem. To form an opinion.
Here's the problem. There, on one hand, you have a mountain of evidence, and on the other hand, you have a couple of unanswered questions.
Right.
And unanswered questions people get very uncomfortable with. If there's not an answer, I'm uncomfortable. Then that means it must be all – that's a giant leap to say that the government could pull that off.
This is just like the thinking behind UFOs, which is I don't know what that is. I can't explain what it is. Therefore, it must be an alien spacecraft. You fill
Are
in
you
the blanks. You fill in the blanks for things that you don't know. All right. Angel, you hang on. We absolutely will get to your call first when we come back. Caitlin, you hang on as well. We're looking for your calls. What's the government behind? What's the government doing to us? What are they involved in that we don't know about? And you can help spread the word this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next when we come back on K-Rock.
I just got a tweet from somebody that said, come on, guys, open your eyes.
Yeah, man. And I thought, you guys don't know, man.
And I thought, yeah, right.
We are talking about government conspiracy theorists, talking to government conspiracy theorists, this all because of Dave Mustaine from Metallica and more recently Megadeth, who is convinced that the president is somehow behind these mass gun shootings, the one up in Wisconsin, the one in Colorado. He's doing this so that the public sympathy is, hey, let's take guns away, because that's his ultimate plan, is to take guns away from people, regardless of the fact that there hasn't been any movement on that issue at all since he's been in office. Now, we're talking to people about their theories. Unfortunately, we lost the caller who was calling to explain to us that the U.S. government planned the Pearl Harbor attacks.
Oh, didn't plan aloud, though. Aloud.
Okay, knew the Japanese were coming, yes, and let it happen. And yes, I assume that's because they were looking for a way to get into World War II and didn't think they could sell it unless we got attacked, maybe. That's probably what they were going to say. Haven't seen much evidence to suggest they knew Pearl Harbor was coming. It seemed like pretty much a surprise attack by everything I've ever read about it. But all right, let's move on and take some more calls. Let's try Oscar. He's on line 8 to get us going for this segment. Oscar, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's the government up to that we don't know about?
What is up, my Kevin and Bean brothers? Seriously, I'm a longtime listener. I've called in many times, but this is one of the ones I just had to call in. I even pulled off the freeway to go to work early.
All right.
Thank you. Call in. One thing that the government is seriously behind, and it's actually the shadow government that pulls the strings of our government that's doing this, and that's FEMA camps that are literally nationwide.
FEMA concentration camps of Americans?
That is correct.
And you're talking about, I mean, FEMA, those are the people that come in to help in the case of a natural disaster, like the Hurricane Katrina people. You're talking about the camps where they were moved to after that natural disaster, is what you mean?
That was a very, very sugar-coated, tip-of-the-iceberg version of what they actually have in store for many Americans. You could go anywhere on the line.
All those people were free to leave. I mean, the government was offering them food and shelter because they lost their homes, but they could have walked out at any time. It's not like they were being held against their will.
Well, that's why I said that was a very sugar-coated tip-of-the-iceberg situation. If you actually go anywhere online and type in FEMA camps or American concentration camps, you'll see tons and tons of pictures made available through Google Earth.
Oscar, here's what I know. Here's what I know, yeah, is that if it's online, it's true.
That is funny, but actually, there is a lot of truth, because the best way to hide something is in plain sight.
Have you been to a FEMA camp?
Actually, I have driven one up, which is up north from Los Angeles, going towards Oxnard.
You've driven to one or by one?
And there were people trying to get out, and they wouldn't let them?
No, it was completely empty.
Oh,
which was strange.
Those are the worst kind of concentration camps.
I hate those concentration camps that are empty.
When I pulled over, I asked the cop, I'm like, what type of prison is that? And he goes, he gave me like every excuse in the book to like avoid my question.
Yeah, but, he was hiding something. No question, he was hiding something.
But Oscar, listen. We agree with you that the government should be distrusted. I think we're both on board with that. But when you drive by and you see an empty jail, don't you think it's a bit of a leap of faith to go, that's a FEMA concentration camp? They're just getting it set up for us Americans. Isn't
that
a bit of a leap of faith?
No, it's not.
Okay. All right.
All right. I'm convinced. I'm with
satisfied.
Oscar. I don't know what Kevin's got going on. I'm with Oscar. Thank you very much for the call, sir. Thank you for pulling over to talk to us. Let's go to Caitlin. We can dismiss this one on line one, I think, fairly quickly. Caitlin, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for holding on. What's the government up to?
Oh, Kevin and Bean, I love you guys.
Thank you.
So pleased to be here with you.
Thank you.
So first of all, I just want to say really quickly about the FEMA camps, because Oscar didn't touch on this. When you look up these FEMA camps, they're literally built to keep people inside. I think that's what he was trying to get at. It's not that he's driven by them, but they are designed to keep people in, which is a little sketchy, and I haven't seen the message just blast that out, but I just wanted to put that out there. But what I want to talk about is fluoride in the water. And the thing is, you know, you guys say, oh, if it's on the internet, it must be true. Absolutely not. But people seem to have a mentality in our society of not questioning the government just because, and that's where I kind of have an issue. It's not that I think, oh, the government is completely insane, they're doing all this, but I think that there are issues that aren't being discussed.
Like what? What specifically?
Okay, so fluoride, first of all.
Fluoride
and water. There's been a lot of back and forth. Oh, the scientists say this, they say that. But there's a part of our brain, so to speak, it's called the pineal gland. I don't know if you guys know about it.
Sure.
It's responsible for DMT, dreaming, all that kind of stuff.
I did my thesis on that.
Really? Wow. I got a whole big surge of respect for you there. And I had it before. But so basically fluoride, and I've personally, you know, done quote-unquote my own research with this, with drinking water with fluoride and not, and I swear to you guys that when I do not drink fluoride, my headspace is, I wouldn't even say clearer, it's like, and I'm a very spiritual person, so that plays into it as well, but I think that people, you know, I see these little things online like, oh, make sure you get your fluoride, and it seems so scary to me because, especially lately, there's so much more about the fact that fluoride
Caitlin, let me jump in for 1 second here because there may be people who don't know what the hell you're talking about. Fluoride is something that the government admits to introducing into water systems. Anyone who's on a public water system gets fluoride in the water. Right, Lisa? Mm-hmm. That's how that works.
Yes,
and the reason they do that is because dentists and other scientists said, hey, fluoride reduces cavities by like 80% or something like that. So America kind of got together. Maybe not everybody, but the people who run things got together and said, let's just put fluoride in the water. That way all of us will have better dental health. I don't think this is a secret. I don't think it's a surprise. But what it sounds like you're saying is that fluoride has other side effects that they're not sharing with us, right?
Absolutely. And on the dentist side, I mean, I think this is well known. It does, you know, it's supposed to prevent cavities. My dentist is always saying, I've never had a cavity in my life. Good for you. But too much exposure to it starts to create these spots in your teeth. And I have seen, and you know, you'll say, oh, it's just the internet. But in my opinion, you know, information is information. If I see evidence that fluoride has caused people's teeth to kind of, I wouldn't say rot, but it's done some kind of weird, nasty stuff as far as my research has shown. And I'm a very open person. I will look at either side, and I'm not.
But I mean,
you know,
unless...
I do know people who are super one-sided.
I'm
not
convinced.
The government, crazy.
What are you doing about it? Are you only drinking, like, Sparklets water or something like that, or Crystal Springs?
Absolutely.
You don't drink tap water.
I do not. I drink Trader Joe's electrolyte-enhanced water.
I'm convinced, too, then, Caitlin. Glad you called. Glad you exposed the danger that water is making to our citizens. We appreciate that.
Oh, gosh.
I appreciate it very much.
Thank
hey,
you
won us over. What do you want?
I'm telling you,
we agree with you. I'm convinced. All right, Bobby, we're not going to have time to get in the JFK assassination, but clearly the government took out the president because duh. How about, let's go to Javier. Javier is on line 3 here on the Kevin DeBean Show. We're running out of time, but seriously, we could do a whole George Nori 5 hours just with callers from our listeners. I mean, these are our people, Kevin.
Love it. Javier?
Yes, it's Xavier.
Xavier, okay. Sorry.
I
apologize. Sorry. What's going on, dude?
I don't want to cause any panic, but the government is instructing NASA not to alert the people on the planet about a planet that has a wide orbit that in a few months will cross our orbit and destroy our whole weather system. And if
there's another planet that's going to come close enough to Earth that it will destroy our atmosphere?
That's right. And
okay.
It's a planet that has a wide orbit and comes across the path of the Earth every 3,600 years.
And when is this going to happen?
This will happen in approximately a few months.
So you're a Mayan believer, basically. You think they were on to something with the whole December 2012.
Besides the Mayan, there was also the Sumerians that had a calendar that coincided with the Mayans.
Will you do us a favor and call us back on January 1st?
Sure, I'll be happy if you're okay. Around.
All right. Hey, look, I don't know what Xavier's got going on, but I will tell you that if the government, any government, found out that the Earth was going to basically end, if we were going to, everything's going to be upheaval and there was going to be some sort of cosmic event with a collision or something like that, I'm not sure they would tell us.
Because what's the point?
There's stages that's going to happen. Also, they're going to, all these people claiming about FEMA and there's something in our water. It's not going to, whatever they're going to plant, it's not going to be in the water. It's going to be in our money. So then everyone will be gone within, everyone can go within a couple of weeks so that they can go into their silos. And Obama visiting Colorado, you know, that's where one of the deepest safe havens they have.
Right.
It's in Colorado.
It's all coming together.
Xavier, what are you going to do since you know this? What are you doing right now to prepare?
I'm not planning on living. My family and I were going to go to where the nearest impact point is going to be and just do away with it. You know,
I am afraid for your family.
Well, you know, be afraid because no one will survive this. Not even those people.
Just do us a favor and don't pull the ripcord before things happen.
No, we're all going to witness it.
All right, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm with Kevin. You should wait and see how this one plays out before you do anything drastic, Xavier.
And
thank you,
you
so much for the call.
Google,
we're out of time.
On Google, we're out of, we, our Orion orbit.
Okay, all right. We'll Google that. Thank you, Savior.
So we're all going to die. It's almost over. I hate to leave on the bummer note here.
Well, then why be afraid? Because we're all going to die.
I'm going to charge a lot on my credit cards today.
Kevin and Bean listener Kevin writes in, why is nobody talking about the worst of the government conspiracies, that they're bringing out the McRib and then taking it away and then bringing it out and then taking it away? That's an excellent point, by the way. Somebody does need to do an investigation on that.
Well, they're putting drugs in the McRib, causes sterility.
I don't doubt it. Yeah. Did you hear those listeners? Hey, did you hear them, Ralph?
How do they go about their lives? They say, oh, I listen all the time. How do they go about their lives all the time? Go about their daily business with that in their head.
I think they just ignore it. Like, there's nothing they can do.
Right, right. What are you going to do about an asteroid coming to kill
them?
When
they get the opportunity to call in and vent, they're so passionate about it.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine them just going to work every day and not being crazy.
That's why I love
it. Like, why are they not at home making mashed potato mountains in tinfoil hats, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I love crazy people.
I love them, and I bought every single thing they were telling me. I really did. It changed my whole worldview. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, it's true. Fluoride does cause you to, I don't know, whatever that girl said.
I think it puts holes in your teeth if you have too much of it.
She's seen pictures online, Ralph. Yeah.
I think she had meth in her water. Did you hear her?
She was a little amped.
I love her, but she needs to dial it back a notch.
She was a little tuned up, quite frankly. Yeah, God bless her. I'm just saying, if there's an opening over there at KLOS, give me a call. I'm just saying. Now that I know that the whole morning is going to be free, you guys must need somebody over there, right? I'm just saying.
Interesting.
I got shaving a haircut two bits over here in my ear, and I got the other crazy lady, and then these two. So I'm just saying. I'm just saying. I'm just saying there's fleas in this place. That's all.
You want me to come with you, Ralph?
No,
I'm good.
I'm good, thanks.
I'm offering.
No, we're all full up. We're all full up over here at KLOS.
It'd be fun. It'd be fun, Ralph.
You know what else the government did?
What?
Broke up Limp Bizkit.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's the worst conspiracy of them all. Fred Durst says Limp Bizkit is over. We said, Fred, we told you that years ago. He did an interview with Kerrang! Magazine. It's a rock magazine. And said, despite recently signing with Lil Wayne's album, label rather, Cash Money, Limp Bizkit is, for all intents and purposes, over with.
So he's basically saying, you can't fire us, we quit.
Right.
Right.
In 2000, there were 35 million people who connected to this band, he wrote. 12 years later, lots of those people have moved on.
But that's true of every phase of novelty music. I mean, look, there was a time where everybody bought the Macarena. Doesn't mean people still want to hear it now.
He's not going to play anymore, certainly not in America, Fred says. We've boycotted America for many years now. The reason?
They won't have us.
Nobody will buy our tickets. No, the reason? We just don't know what's going on in America. It's all about the new catchy thing, and that's always changing. America's driven by record sales. It's the home of corporations. We're just Limp Bizkit, so we don't know how to do anything but Limp Bizkit.
No, you better learn.
Yeah,
By the way, there's no corporations in Europe? There's no money-making
Nope, just America.
In Europe?
Apparently, they don't care if records sell over there in the UK.
That's really weird.
Oh, wait a minute. Sure, they do.
I think they would.
Yeah, so that's it. Limp Bizkit's
over. What's your guess, guys, how Fred's doing financially?
Oh, but he's fine.
Oh, he burned
through
it.
You think he made enough money that he's
okay? No.
You think he burned through it?
Oh, I think he burned through it, yeah.
But he also works as a director, a movie director and stuff and everything. He's a busy guy. Did he write? He wrote the lyrics. He wrote all the stuff, right?
Oh, he wrote the lyrics.
I can tell he wrote the lyrics. I'm just saying, songwriting royalties, he must be okay.
But who's playing their records or buying them?
I suppose you're right.
That needs to happen for them to get royalties.
Now I'm concerned.
The best lyrics ever.
Not concerned anymore. No, I wish him. I wish him all the worst life has to offer. Chris Humphries. Kim Kardashian. That's the magic couple right there.
Porn star Kim Kardashian.
Sorry, porn star Please. Kim Kardashian Please. Is going to be dragged, forced into court by Chris Humphries, and Can't he's wait. Trying to get Kanye West on the stand to testify.
Oh, this is going to get ugly. They're going to have to write him a check, right?
Chris's lawyers reportedly tried to serve Kanye's subpoena by wrapping it up in a Nordstrom box and sending it over to Kim's house. TMZ.com is reporting that Chris also wants to get Kris Jenner up on the stand and ask her questions about the fact that Chris is claiming the marriage was a fraud engineered by Kim and Chris to benefit her reality show.
Unfortunately, we all want to hear the answers to these questions. It won't happen until sometime next year.
Oh, come on.
Because of all the legal maneuvering, the judges said the case will have to be postponed until the beginning of next year. So we have some months to sit through before we get our answers. If
Chris Humphries has them over a barrel, man.
Yeah, it's great.
Whatever they're offering, he should say double it, and then he should say double it again.
Yeah.
And you guys were talking about government conspiracies a few moments ago. How about the assassination of President John F. Kennedy?
Oh, we had one of those. We just didn't have time.
The days leading up to that fateful event and the events that happened before the shots were fired is the premise of a new movie called Parkland. Based on that day and the Zapruder film. It's being produced by Tom Hanks.
Wow. Why do you say another movie on that, Kevin? It could be a great movie. There's so much,
Kevin's right.
So much material.
That's well traveled.
Thank you.
That subject matter is well traveled.
I mean, it'd be hard to beat JFK. That was so brilliant.
Parkland refers to Parkland Memorial Hospital, where President Kennedy was taken after he was shot and pronounced dead there. It's also the same place that Lee Harvey Oswald was taken after Jack Ruby shot him.
And
that's where Jack Ruby himself died several years later. The government runs Parkland Memorial Hospital, and they're assassinating and tying up all the loose ends of anyone who knew the truth behind who killed John F. Kennedy.
Yeah, I don't think you guys know,
man. You guys don't know.
We do now.
And I heard Dave Mustaine is being taken there for a proctology exam.
That is not true.
And they're going to kill him to take his guns.
That is untrue.
Because he keeps his guns in his rectum. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Juliana Rancic. She is 37 years old today. Donnie Wahlberg, talented actor, former boy bander. He's on Blue Bloods on CBS with Tom Selleck, 43 years old. Gilby Clark of Guns N' Roses is 50. Sean Penn celebrates his 52nd birthday today. Belinda Carlisle is 54. She's looking pretty good for 54.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Lead singer of the Go-Go's, of course. Robert De Niro is 69. And Kevin Rowland, lead singer of Dexy's Midnight Runners, celebrates his 59th birthday today. Got nothing, don't you? All right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Time for our final look at the showbiz beat for Friday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman is here. What's going on, man? What's left? What do you got on the table?
I'm still thinking about Taylor Swift. Still thinking about it.
Yeah, well.
You love her?
No.
The song's starting to grow on you?
It's even worse than I expressed earlier because she... Sometimes you write a love song or a breakup song or whatever, and you say, okay, this will have universal appeal because everyone's gone through this and people can relate to it. But she... is so self-involved, narcissistic, that she writes specific lyrics like, you listen to a record, an indie record, that's probably, you think it's better than mine. Her lyrics are so specific to her own personal situation that you can't even apply your situation to it because it's all about her.
Agreed.
God damn her to hell.
Agreed with that as well.
I want a piano to fall on her. I want like a Wile E. Coyote death for her. I want cartoon death.
Cartoon death.
For Taylor
on
Swift.
On track, as an aside, by the way, to sell 600,000 iTunes downloads this week, by the way.
Huh. Well,
make it good.
Hitler had a lot of followers too, Bean.
I'm just,
that's all
just
I'm saying.
Pointing out that she's connecting
with
a lot of people that aren't
you. A lot
you,
of people
all.
Doing the goose step marching with their hands in the air. That's all I'm saying.
I think that is comparable to releasing a song. I do.
Doesn't always make it good just because a lot of people are doing
it's
it.
It's not comparable to a song. It's comparable to a Taylor Swift song.
I'm saying Swift equals Hitler is what I'm saying.
What I was saying is obviously she's connecting with a lot of people who do find some universality
yes,
in
it's
her,
right.
her
Taylor Swittler.
That's good. Actually, that's pretty good.
Tadolf Swittler.
Tadolf Swittler it is. Cartoonist Paul Lee, draw that up for us, would you?
Yes.
Put that up.
God. Start selling t-shirts. It'd be awesome.
I hate her so much.
I love her just as much as you hate her. So it balances out the
couldn't
universe.
Possibly. Couldn't possibly. Kylie Minogue. Still looking good these days. At the age of 44 years old, she was recently seen at a event for the Samsung company, and everyone raving about how hot she looked these days. Does she make music anymore, Kylie Minogue?
Yeah, she's still. I mean, obviously got a huge international following, but yeah, she's still recording and touring the whole deal. She's a big ticket.
I can't stop thinking about her since earlier in the week. Jean-Claude Van Damme admitted having an affair with her while they shot Street Fighter, and it's just, I feel so sorry for that girl. She'll never live that down now. Gerard Butler is sober and happy to be so. He has had a drinking problem, got it under control. He has been sober for a while now, and he says the way he stays sober is making music. writing and performing his music, says, helps him stay sober. So, good for him. Meanwhile, Shia LaBeouf said that he was sober. You know, he had some problems with the alcohol, too. He kept getting busted in bar fights and stuff. He said he was sober, but he did this this new movie where he plays a moonshiner in the 30s.
Uh-huh.
And he said he had to get the alcohol bloat of his character, so he started guzzling moonshine and getting wrecked on it because he said his character needed to have that bloat of looking like someone who's who drinks too much.
That's great.
Oh,
you should use that, Ralph.
Shia LaBeouf will do for his art, I'll tell you. He couldn't stay sober. He wanted to stay sober, but he couldn't because his art won't let him.
It's dedication. That's what it is. It's dedication, Ralph.
Douchebag. Shia LaBeouf has also announced he's no longer going to be making any more blockbusters. To which America said, we stopped watching him those years ago, so it's fine.
I don't hate him in those. Am I bad?
Yeah.
I think he's a good actor.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
I like him. Not that I've seen any of his movies.
Oh, man.
Based on not seeing them, I think he's fine.
You can't weigh in if you've seen none of his movies.
I want to beat you to death with Tadolf Swindler.
No, I did see. I did see. What was the one where he was had on house arrest and had the people the hot
Disturbia.
Chick next door? Yeah, I saw him in Disturbia. I thought he was very good in
that. That's when he was good. He started his career. He was good, and then he just lost the better part of himself when he found the better part of Jack Daniels. And lastly, while we're talking about blockbusters, Robert Downey Jr. got injured on the set while filming Iron Man 3 this week. Spokesperson for Marvel Studios says there will be a short delay in the production while he recuperates. Apparently, they have to make him a heart out of some piece of some nuclear device or something in order to keep him going.
So,
yeah, but it works out at the end. I saw the film. It worked out very well. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Robert De Niro, 69 years old. Kevin Rowland of Dexy's Midnight Runners turns 59. Belinda Carlisle is 54 years old. Sean Penn turns 52. Gilby Clark, guitarist for Guns N' Roses, is 50 years old. Donnie Wahlberg can be seen on Blue Bloods on CBS with Tom Selleck, is 43 years old. And TV personality Juliana Rancic from E! Is 37 years old. Today, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Monday morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Kristen Bell on the program on Monday.
What?
Oh, I love her so much.
I'm surprised she's coming back on ever since Dave gave her those salt and pepper shakers and their likeness.
He didn't even give them to her. He just mentioned them and
told her about
ran.
It. Yeah. She used to be a frequent guest on the Kevin and Bean Show until Dave creeped her out, right?
Yeah.
It's not my fault.
It is your fault.
So one time it is your fault. The creepiness was not being this time. LaQuisha will be on the program with Keeping Up with the Kardashians. We've got Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. We have a special Lisa Mae pet judge. And musical guest, Tadolf Swindler.
Tadolf Swindler's coming on?
Woo!
They will never, ever, ever get together again! Sieg Heil!
Oh, man. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Turn that song up. That's my jam.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
No money, no problems. That's what I always say.
Roll another one.
You are the man.
Just like the other one.
And how often has you used
this one seems to be about to quit.
Crack is whack.
And I need another hit.
I don't know much about the Bieber. Never see him. I don't know what he does.
Have you ever heard his song?
No. How's it go?
Baby, 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 oh.
Is that his song?
You know it.
I don't think I'd like it.
He's a douche.
Roll another one.
I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
Just like.
How do you keep your head about you?
This one seems to be a mountain.
What you talking about, man?
I don't have another cent.
Look, I got a freaking baby in me, and I don't want him getting all agitated.
But don't bogart that joint.
I'm not scared of poo-poo.
Just pass it around.
That's not really a question.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Will Glenda be there?
That's it. No more. Over and out.
Ah! Kissing.
just farted.
You know, I was thinking I wanted to pitch an idea to you.
I'm all ears.
It's called Bye.
And that was a disgraceful performance. In my opinion, that sucked.
I wish it was different. I wish I could tell you something more encouraging, but, you know, I just think it's the best for both of us that, you know, we kind of part ways at this point in time.